Good morning. You know, God works things out really wonderfully sometimes. When Tim and I had spoken a while back, and so many of you had been a part of the blessing of being a part of the Pathways ministry through the making of blankets, I didn't even think about the ending of this James passage today where it says, ultimately what God cares about is taking care of the widows and orphans. And while those in the NICU are neither of those, they certainly qualify in the group of those that God wants us to care for. And I'm thankful for Angelica and Tim and everyone speaking today. And for Scott and Gary's comments about Sunday school, I heartily agree. I think it is important for all of us as we are able to be a part of the deeper digging into God's Word. And that's kind of what we're going to get into today as we continue our series on Back to School. The title of today's sermon is Honor Roll, and the reason it's Honor Roll is we want to get beyond just showing up. How many of you just showed up to school and passed? So I'll be honest, I showed up to high school and by and large did very well. And then I did the same when I got to college. You want to guess how that worked out for me? I've got some really... I don't know if I have them anymore. For a while, I had incredible ping pong skills because I would wake up and then I would go to the student union building and then I would think, well, class starts in 10 minutes and I could go to class or I could play ping pong. Also, Police Trainer, which was a video game involving shooting targets. I also excel at that. Neither of those, by the way, enable you to keep your scholarship to college. You can't just show up and expect to do well in life, in college. Even if you can get away with it in high school, I don't recommend it. I'm, of course, saying that for all of you who are parents. Kids, go to school and participate. Otherwise, you might get kicked in the shins. So, how many of you have just shown up in life? Or how many of you want to do well? The point of both of today's stories, both this reading from the Gospel of Mark, and also from the letter of James, are stories about what it means to go beyond just showing up. James is an interesting book. Martin Luther, who really, there probably wouldn't be Baptists in large part if it weren't for some of the machinations of Martin Luther and the Reformation, but Martin Luther called the book of James a straw gospel. He felt like it was thin and flat and ought to be burned up. It was his least favorite book in Scripture. James is a weird book in the New Testament. If you've been with us on Wednesday nights or you've studied Scripture, you know that by and large, most of the New Testament writings are from the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul is very big on grace over the law and grace over works. And James, on the other hand, who tradition tells us is not only named James, but is quite possibly written by the brother of Jesus, James likes the law and wants to talk about the law. The letter itself is written to the Jews of the 12 tribes and the diaspora and the dispersion, which means this is a letter written to those who have come out of a Jewish identity and now find themselves as followers of the way of Christ. And so one of the things James is going to do time and time again is help them understand how they can take what they knew and make it a part of what they know now. Taking what we know and letting it grow with us is a difficult thing. Scott was talking earlier about the Sunday school teachers he could remember as a child, even the attractive ones. Unfortunately, the only Sunday school teacher I can remember was not all that attractive. He was an Olympic level discus thrower, but he had lost some fingers in a shop accident. And all I can remember are the stubs of his hands. So I think you have a better early experience of Sunday school than I do. If I held to the things that I believed explicitly when I was in elementary school, and I felt like that was sufficient for my faith would not have grown with me. This is exactly what Jesus encounters when he runs into these scribes and Pharisees. He's out with his disciples, and they go in to eat, and they don't wash their hands. And the scribes and Pharisees say, well, you know, what's wrong with your guys? And Jesus says to them, You're so focused on paying attention to the little details that have been passed down through tradition, that you can't even be present to the reality of God in your midst. That's obviously a little bit of a transliteration, but that's kind of what Jesus is saying, is that you guys are so focused on this nitpicky little thing and on making sure that it fits the mold of what you thought you always knew, that you can't see that the Son of God is in your midst. It's tempting to hold on to the certainty we once had with a misplaced nostalgia. It's far more difficult to be alive to faith. When Jesus walked the earth, even those who were religious leaders in their day and time missed God in their midst. And if we want to be a part of the honor roll and not just those who show up, we're going to have to make sure we are awake and alive and alert to what God is doing in our presence. When Jesus came, one of the central messages he taught was that what you thought you knew about how tradition and the law and the little rules and regulations meant that you would experience God is actually, ironically, keeping you from experiencing God. And what I want you to be able to do, he said to the disciples, is be present to the reality of God in your midst. So how do we do that? Well, I think James is instructive in this regard. I think James, as difficult and as weird and strange of a read as James can be at times, I think that James does a very good job helping us understand a central truth to what it means to move forward and grow up in the faith. Today, in the reading from James, we hear this refrain of a couple of things. One central is, be doers of the word and not only hearers. So, what does that mean? What that means is, it's not enough to sit here and take it in. It's not enough to just let it feed you and do nothing with it. I think that's why it worked out so God serendipitously well to talk about blankets today, to talk about the way that fit in with what we were doing already as a knitting yarn. I don't want to call it knitting because it's knitting and crocheting, and some of you are very rabid about which of those you prefer, and I don't want to get shanked with some sort of weird implement that's still legal to carry on a plane. Those ought to be classified as weapons. They're like knives that are this long. Anyway, how we had already begun this kind of idea of a yarn ministry, and it just flowed so well, because that's one of the things that we as Cross Creek did that should be commended, is the way that we engage in missions, not only locally, but abroad and through so many ways, is that we are not simply being fed. We are making sure that we are actively participating in what God is doing around us. James said, be doers, not only hearers. Because hearers aren't really getting anything. If you just hear, but you're unable to put out, it means that you probably didn't really hear it to begin with. Let's be really honest. Let's talk about sermons for a minute, okay? How many of you remember the sermon from 6 weeks ago? I'm not raising my hand. I can remember very little of sermons that I heard. I can remember maybe two in their totality, and I can remember little bits and pieces of others. I don't take offense at that. I can tell when you're glazing over, by the way, in case you didn't know that. Like, I can see it in your face. Now, whether that it means I can see it when you've kind of slumped over asleep, that's an obvious tell. Or I can just see it when your eyes get glassy. It's okay. Look, not everyone's a home run. Sometimes you're tired. But the major point of all of that is if you've ever sat through many sermons in a row, you understand what it is to be present and not to hear, right? Yeah, I know some of you are probably very thankful we don't do a pop quiz 10 minutes after service. I'm thankful sometimes we don't do a pop quiz 10 minutes after service. Because it's not about the one sermon, though. It's not about sermons. It's not about one Sunday school class. It's about the cumulative effect of being immersed in the presence and the Word of God and the way that that plays out of us. See, when Jesus is talking, and I'm going to jump back and forth between James and Jesus, and they're brothers, and that's okay. When Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, one of the things that they're upset about is that they're eating with unclean hands. Now, let's be honest. You ought to wash your hands before you eat. But they even tell us in the Gospel of Mark that it's not about cleanliness, it's about ritual. This is not like a surgeon scrubbing for surgery, right? They're not up to the elbows in some sort of abrasive scrub. This is about doing this thing with a pot and some water that marked them as being better than others. It wasn't about intent, it was about ritual. Jesus later goes on to make this statement that somehow we still miss out on, that it's not what goes in that makes you unclean. It's what comes out. I sometimes wonder if we as the collective group of Christians really got that, if the rise of the Christian blank industry would exist. You know what I'm talking about, right? You got your Christian rock and roll, your Christian rap, your Christian Afghan throws, which you can buy plenty at the Christian bookstore, Christian fiction. You know what I'm... You get this, right? It's a whole, like, subcategory of anything Christian blank. We've separated ourselves in what we take in because somehow, sometimes we struggle to believe that it's not what we take in, but it is what we put out. I'm not suggesting, by the way, that you defile yourself in any sort of way. But I am suggesting that it doesn't matter how clean your listening habits are if you're not cultivating an interior spiritual life that is cruciform and formed by the life of Jesus. You could listen to nothing but K-Love or whatever the radio station is around here that plays Christian music, and you could still go out of here and speak words of hatred against your brother because you weren't really getting it. James has important words for us, and they go hand in hand with this. It's not what goes in, but what goes out. When James emphasizes being doers of the word and not only hearers, the refrain from chapter 1 is about guarding our tongues, or in this modern age, our keyboards as well. Because the anonymity of the internet makes all of us feel like giants. The lack of an immediate feedback loop of Facebook makes us feel like we can say whatever we want. But James says, as plain as it gets, if you can't control what you say, or for the sake of the modern era, what you put out, then I don't think the gospel really got a hold of you. I want to speak plainly in a political season. It's not about which politician we're talking about. But it is about the idea that speaking hatred is the same as speaking truth. It's not. Now, don't get me wrong. I've said some really mean things, probably this week. Pam's not allowed to wear a tape recorder into the office. It's rarely about y'all. Though I thought Heather had a really loaded question when over 50% of the children in children's time were staff members' kids. About, you ever hear your parents complain about their jobs? Not with y'all. There's a temptation in life to take the letter of the law and miss the meaning. And that's one of the things that both of these are about. It would be tempting to say that really what we're talking about when we're talking about language coming out, well, that means don't use any four-letter words. Which that means you can't use the word that, and that becomes really problematic. We made it, when I was growing up, all about, oh, I can't believe so-and-so said a curse word. Until I met my friend from Germany. Europeans have a whole different model of foul language. They understood cursing to be what you said about people and not the words you used. And then you start thinking about how nicely you can speak badly about people. Flattery and backhanded compliments will get you lots of places, but they won't get you to the heart of the gospel. To be a part of God's honor roll means to move beyond the surface into the depths. It means to lay aside sometimes our cultural Christianity to get to true faith. It means to set aside that which we think fits in with the society of looking like a follower of Christ in order to act like a real follower of Christ. And here's the thing. If you are immersed in the Word, if you are spending time in prayer, if you are in a community of faith that is holding you up, you'll know the difference. James and his brother Jesus both would tell us that ultimately it is what is coming out of you, it is your output, that is indicative of what is going on in your heart. It's not to say that there's some big list where you're being judged by all your works, but it is to point to the reality that your works speak loudly. And so if you thump your Bible all day long and cuss out your neighbor for not mowing their lawn, your actions are speaking louder than your words. I know most of you pretty well. I know that for all of God's children, we are being called to a deeper faith than we had yesterday. We're being called to move beyond contentment to growth. It starts with being so in love with God that we know the difference between those two. But it comes out with what are we doing with our hands and our language. I want to challenge you this week. I have a diet tracking app. I know some of you use the same thing called MyFitnessPal. And when I'm doing well and I'm wanting to make sure I'm eating right, I track what I'm putting into my body. Right? That's what it does. It's just got like a huge database and I can tell it I ate the double Whopper. And it can tell me I'm already in the negative for the day and I better go run 10 miles. And I can say, I think it's kidding. Surely there's a miscalculation. I track that on my phone. But this week, what about instead of tracking what we put in, what if we did track what we put out? What if you actually paid attention to what you yourself said? What if you went back at the end of the week and looked at everything you posted on Facebook? Hopefully it's all cute cat pictures. What if you wrote down, because you were being honest with yourself, after you talked badly about somebody? The reality is, you can change. But denying our own culpability is not going to help. Sometimes the gospel is simply admitting that we don't have it right and asking God to help us do better. In fact, that's most the time what the gospel is. Admitting that we don't have it right and God help us do better. Amen.